Heard at Sports Radio every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m.
Coming up on Friday's show, it's a free-for-all as usual. We'll talk with Chad Forbes of NFL Draft Bites about all the things going on in the NFL. Mike Sonner from Heard at Sports stops by with all his takes on the latest local sports action. And, of course, we'll do our weekly check-in with former Husker and current pizza shop owner Matt Versal.
Take a dive into the latest news and all things sports. Heard at Sports Radio with Ravi Lula and Damon Benning.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio.
And Wilmus will swing the bat off the glove of a diving Glasser. Ball caroms to 2-pitch. In the air to left. That ball is well hit. Jesse on the run. Looking up. It is gone! And control of bracket one belongs to the Iowa Hawkeyes. And La Russa sends this one high in the air to left. Sartori going back at the track, leaping up, and it's gone! 22nd home run of the year for Nick La Russa, and a walk-off winner in the 10th for Maryland.
What's up? Coffee and Cream in the morning. What's up with Damon Benning and Andrew Rogers? We're live from the H&H Chevrolet stage at Hale Varsity Club.
Kugler the goat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he is. Oh, yeah.
It is gone.
You know, still to this day, I mean, we talked to him one time on the show. Still have yet to meet him in person.
Cougs?
Mm-hmm. Nice. I almost was that guy when I was there on, what was it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Walked into the booth during a, like, middle of an inning. And
you got stage fright?
I didn't want to be that guy.
See? You're going to get enough. That's twice now you didn't want to be that guy, and you should have been that guy.
You know, because if I go in there, now it's like, oh, BTN's like, this guy doesn't belong.
Like, well, you like baseball.
A lot of people in there. Oh, yeah.
So you belong. You may like baseball more than the Big Ten Conference does.
Good point. Good point. I'll go say hi to him today because I'll be at the ballpark. I'm assuming he's going to be there. Is he calling every game?
Yeah. I think he has nighttime.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Right.
So we'll be there. Let's go to the phones and continue talking college baseball with Mike Rooney, ESPN college baseball analyst and writer for D1 Baseball at @Mike_Rooney on Twitter. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How we doing, guys?
Good, good. How are you, Mike?
Doing good.
So I'm kind of joking with Andrew, but not really, right? I thought we may see Petiti here. We do have a baseball exec. I still couldn't figure out what time we were going to come back from the delay. But the Big Ten is broadcasting the Big Ten tournament. I think they like baseball. The sport has grown. Do you like the fact that the conference is seemingly all in with the network to continue to help grow the game?
Yeah, I don't – if I'm being honest, I don't know, you know – it's hard to say, right? Like, you know, Tony Petiti is obviously a big name and worked in Major League Baseball, but, you know, this is a completely different job. I would say, you know, that I think what I'm encouraged about is he's inheriting a very good product. You know, I think the coaches and the players, you know, the Big Ten has always attracted good players. I mean, these are world-class institutions, but it is a critical time. You know, the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 have, the SEC in particular, that, you know, these are conferences in a dead sprint in baseball. And I think the Big Ten has been invested in baseball, but not nearly as passionate as those other leagues. And so it will be very interesting, especially given that the Big Ten is going to have so much more funding to be able to invest in college sports. I guess the bow I'd put on it, the challenge in the Big Ten for me has always been that these schools sponsor so many sports. And, you know, I think about Penn State, which, you know, that job is open right now. And, yep. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they sponsor 30 sports, and they've really struggled in baseball. And I don't think it's a magical coaching change. I think there are infrastructure type of things that will need to get fixed. So it's a long answer, kind of a non-answer. I'll be very interested to see, because there is real opportunity there. To your point, the sport has grown dramatically over the last 10 years.
Mike, first I want to take a moment and say I really enjoy the D1 Baseball podcast that you do with Kendall and Aaron and Joe. Really good stuff from you guys. So we're very fortunate to have you on the show. We had Kendall on, we had Aaron on, so it was time to get you on, and then I guess next is Joe. Yeah. So we're just going in order with you guys.
I love Joe. Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to say what's been most interesting to me is the SEC. You know, you have LSU a game out from being eliminated after sitting atop the national rankings for the majority of the year. Chalk is holding up, but can it hold? Plus, the 10 seed has made its way to the fourth round. All that being said, whether it's one of the provided or not, what would you say has been the biggest story emerging out of the SEC conference tournament this year?
Yeah, I would say there's two stories for me that really jump out. One is, man, the selection committee for the NCAA tournament, they are going to have a real – I would imagine they will spend more time talking about Kentucky and South Carolina's hosting chances than any other two teams. It just really – these are really unique resumes. South Carolina has this beautiful team that played great early, and they've been decimated by injury. But yet they still have a top 10 RPI. You know, I believe South Carolina is something like 3-10 in their last 13 games. They're 4-6. If you include the NCAA or the SEC tournament, they went 4-6-1 in their SEC weekends. And then you look at Kentucky. Their RPI has been number one. It's been number two. It's been number three. It really hasn't been any worse than that. But they're aggregate 17-16 in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is a 500 team in their own league going to be a host of the NCAA tournament? You know, if we're using RPI, the answer is yes. If we're concerned about that they were just, you know, they were solid in the league, the nation's best league, then the answer is probably no. So I think that is very interesting. And then Alabama and Auburn kind of coming on like gangbusters. The Alabama story is just remarkable.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
gambling scandal, coaching fire. Hey, let's play well.
Yeah, incredible, right? I mean, they're a lock to host. And, you know, I don't think any of us would be shocked if Alabama made it to Omaha. It's just really crazy.
So let me back up just a little bit to South Carolina, because I know the committees in basketball aren't supposed to take injuries into account, but this Gamecocks team is a shell of who they were a month ago, and the tailspin has been indicative of that. Do you take that into consideration?
Well, I think the way I like to look at it is, and I believe the committee looks at it this way, it's, you know, who a lot of times coaches, and I get the perspective, they want to talk about who they've lost for the year and what their team has overcome. To me, that, you know, at the risk of sounding cold, like, that's kind of irrelevant. What's relevant is, hey, who, like, I'll give you guys a great example. To me, a great example. Oklahoma is on the bubble.
Yep.
Their shortstop, Dakota Harris, is an excellent player, really important player for him. He's back. He's playing every day currently. When he was out, he missed 14 games. They were 5-9. So if I'm evaluating the Oklahoma team that's going to be in the NCAA tournament or not going to be, you know, I can include him and understand their record better. You know, if there's, you know, South Carolina, if I would pick on them, their ace, Will Sanders, has been out the last couple weeks, and he is, you know, the rumor is that he'll be available for the regional. I don't think it's fair for the committee to assume that. Mm. If he hasn't pitched in the last couple weeks, they have to assume he's not going to pitch in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I think, and the good news for South Carolina is they're in the tournament. Like, we're not talking about a team that's on the bubble. We're mm-hmm. talking about hosting. I think hosting is special, and it's really important. And that's where I'm struggling. Kentucky and South Carolina, I love their teams. They're very capable of getting to Omaha. But for them to be the 7th and 8th SEC hosts, I'm struggling with that, quite honestly. I kind of go back and forth with it.
Mike, speaking of those teams on the bubble, when the 16 regional hosts are announced and the entire NCAA tournament field is revealed Monday, who is that team for you that you think you could hear, but also won't be surprised if you don't hear their name called?
Yeah, the next 48 hours, the bubble will be very interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of teams, you guys have heard all of us say that the bubble is very soft this year, meaning that there are a lot of teams that are, you know, maybe resumes that in past years you'd just be dead out. Right now, you still got a chance. So, you know, the leagues that come to mind right now are the Pac-12, you know, Arizona State. It's kind of
coming on like gangbusters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they really needed that win over Oregon State yesterday. Arizona's kind of hanging around. You know, in the Big 12, we've got four teams. I think TCU and Texas Tech have put themselves in good stead. Oklahoma, maybe a little more wobbly, and Kansas State, they played well yesterday, so that was helpful. So you have all these teams that are just kind of hanging around. Is the Colonial going to get a second or third team? Right now, there have been not a ton of conference tournament upsets, but you guys know, like, that could change in the blink of an eye. And, like, for instance, UConn did end up in the loser's bracket in the Big East, and that's, you know, if you're on the bubble, that's problematic.
So, unapologetic North Carolina fan. I've been all in for years. And listen, this is the third year for Forbes, and they're kind of one of those teams you're describing, right? They're coming on. They hammered a good Virginia team yesterday, and we like Virginia, right? It's not just because O'Connor is an Omaha guy. It's just, listen, that he's built them into a monster. But they're playing well at the right time, and I think Forbes has been a little malign with that fan base, but it's hard to replace a legend like Fox. How do you look at a team like North Carolina in terms of what they're capable of and what they're doing currently?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think Scott Forbes is one of the more popular guys in college baseball, and you're right. Like, replacing a legend like Mike Fox is just, you know, I don't know how possible it is. You know, the fan bases always struggle with those transitions. I will say that North Carolina this year is, you know, those loud results for them to run Virginia off the field. For the better days for Virginia, they look like a top five team. Now, they have had some fits and starts, but I would say North Carolina is very talented. You know, when you see them play, they certainly look the part. They've been inconsistent on the mound, and that's usually where problems start in baseball. And, you know, Vance Honeycutt hasn't played in probably six games now. So,
yeah, Defensive Player of the Year, Vance Honeycutt.
Yeah, you know, so, like, that's
so good.
Like, could be a first-round pick next year.
Easily.
You know, it's Bo Jackson playing baseball. And so it'll be interesting. You know, if they get him back and the way they've played this week, they're capable of beating anybody.
Mike Rooney, ESPN college baseball analyst and writer for D1 Baseball, here with us at @Mike_Rooney on Twitter. Mike, after having one of their best, if not the best, weekend of the baseball season, what do you make of Texas dropping both games in the Big 12 tournament?
Decisively.
Is it valid to call them lifeless and flatlining at the wrong time?
Yeah, I would say I'd say that's pretty harsh.
Okay.
Given that, you know, like here's the thing on Texas. The week, not you know, obviously not this weekend, but last weekend, they were coming out of nowhere to clinch a share of the Big 12 title. You know, West Virginia's had this magical season, and Texas swept them last weekend in Austin to share the Big 12 title.
Right.
I don't know a better word, but Texas kind of ruined West Virginia's chances to host. And, you know, this West Virginia team had only lost three weekends all year. They were 6-2 in Big 12 series, so that was a huge weekend. I think, you know, I would give David Pierce a lot of credit where they're on this incredible run. Three of the last 4 years they've been in Omaha, but this year's team had a ton of star players they needed to replace. I mean, there's you know, no Trey Faltini at shortstop mm-hmm. or Silas Arduan at catcher or Ivan Melendez winning the Golden Spikes Award. They lost a ton of pitching. And for them to rebuild and still get a share of the league title is pretty impressive. The Texas has one critical challenge. I love their rotation. Their position player group is very, very solid and competent. They just have a very uncertain bullpen, and that's what happened in the game against Kansas. They're kind of commanding the game, and it's going well, and then they give up a grand slam in the seventh inning. And so I think that's the issue for Texas, is it's really uncertain in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, and sometimes it goes okay, and other times, like the game against Kansas, it just implodes on you.
Maybe for different reasons, maybe not, but in the same conference, who do you feel is easier to project, LSU or Florida?
You're talking about like to make a run?
Yeah, because we feel like we know a lot about LSU, and you may not like them after their ace. Mm-hmm. Florida getting healthy, starting to play better, but I don't know if you trust them. So would you rather get the known commodity or the variable that seems to be trending in the right direction?
Yeah, boy, that's a great question. I would say they're kind of like two different sides of the same coin for me. You know, the best version of them looks like they could win the national title, and then you see other versions that looks like, hey, I wouldn't be floored to see them eliminated in a regional. In theory, Florida's pitching is deeper, mm-hmm. but it's been very inconsistent. I think these are the two teams that probably have the highest number of future big leaguers on them. And the LSU offense can be just dominant. You know, I think the fact that LSU is not the number one team anymore probably helps them just a tiny bit, although they still are probably the most famous team. And both teams feel hard to sink your teeth into because, you know, Florida's pitching is just outrageously talented, mm-hmm. but those kids have some really good outings, and then they have some outings where they'll give up a five spot. I probably would pick Florida because it's a little bit more balanced. But, I think those two teams will be fascinating because there's a wide range of outcomes for both of them.
Mike, Nebraska has to see Michigan State tonight. And Michigan State, at least in some articles that I read over the course of the season, was a team that people thought could win the Big Ten championship. And then they ended up getting the 8 seed when they got to the tournament. So how worrisome should Nebraska fans be of this Michigan State team, or do you think Nebraska's in a good position to see Maryland once again?
Yeah, I would say, Nebraska, I think to win a conference tournament like with the Big Ten's format, it's just grueling, and you have to pack your offense. And I think the good news for Nebraska is they do bring a very good offense. Mm-hmm. You know, like I would consider that their strength. And so, you know, Michigan State has been a very competent team this year, and you know, they've won a bunch of games. So I think that is, it'll be challenging. It just, the thing about the Big Ten tournament is you just have to play great baseball. I mean, there's just no, I just don't see it as a tournament you can sneak your way through. It's just too many good teams, too many games. I will tell you that Iowa has been really good all year.
Heller's fantastic.
He is, yeah. So I think for Nebraska, Michigan State, no matter which way you slice it, you've got your work cut out for you. Especially with Iowa and Maryland kind of lurking there. But again, I get to see Nebraska the final weekend against Penn State, and I like that team. I mean, Bryce Matthews had a magical year. Max Anderson's a heck of a hitter, and so like a lot of teams, when they get the right pitching, Nebraska can play with anyone. The Big Ten tournament, though, it's always a melee. I mean, it's just. It is. What a grueling tournament. It's kind of awesome.
Mike, I got to take advantage of your expertise because Vitello, he's polarizing. But how in the world do you explain Tennessee outside of they're horrible on the road?
Yeah, I think the explanation is that, you know, they lost – the position player group is so new. Blake Burke and Christian Moore were just role players last year. Now they're being asked to be, like, the star players, the foundational players. So – you know, their pitching has a lot of pressure on it. And, you know, the Chase Dolander was a kid we were talking about. Could he be the first pick? And that's a big weight to carry around. It all boils down to with Tennessee, the position player group is young and new. And I think that's why they probably haven't been as good on the road. They're, you know, their park is pretty extreme. It's very much a hitter's park, and, you know, that could be part of it too. But I really think it's just maturity. You know, younger players, you get more wide variation. So Tennessee is very interesting. They will not host, and I don't have a ton of confidence in them on the road. But that said, when you've got that type of pitching, if they get the right draw, it wouldn't shock me at all to, you know, wake up in 2 weeks and see them in Omaha. They are a very fascinating team, you know, kind of like LSU in Florida. The best version of them, best version of Tennessee is an Omaha team, and, you know, it wouldn't be, like, totally jarring to see them go two and out in a regional.
Had two of the better ones at one point in Heller and Bakich in the Big Ten. Obviously, Bakich at Clemson now. He's got them making a run in the ACC. If you had to push your chips in a direction, is it the prowess at the plate of the Hurricanes or the totality of the Tigers to make a run?
Huh. So you're asking me to pick between Miami and Clemson. Yeah. I would say, so this is interesting. I mean, this will be my dumbest prediction of the all. I'll pick Miami because I just like how balanced their team is. Clemson is fascinating. I mean, you know, and again, Eric Bakich is as good as anybody. Clemson's so fascinating because they lost five of their first seven series.
Yep.
Five of seven.
They have 17 losses.
Yeah. Yeah.
At number six.
Yeah. It's crazy. They've not lost since. I mean, they've won seven straight weekends. What I worry about Clemson is that they're just, their best baseball has already been played. Now, I could be wrong about that because they just keep winning and winning and winning and, like, doing it in emphatic fashion. I like that Miami's played a very, very difficult road schedule, you know, at Wake, at Virginia, at Louisville, at North Carolina, at Florida. And they've survived it. It's an older team. It's a lot of the same kids that lost the home regional last year. I think that will serve them well. But, yeah, Miami's one of my my kind of hunch picks. I really like Miami to get to Omaha this year.
Mike, for those that don't have a team or don't follow college baseball too often and like to pick the underdog, who is your dark horse at this moment in time, whether it's somebody that you like, the way that they're playing? Because you mentioned who's playing best, right? Is Clemson playing their best ball right now?
I kind of like the Miami pick.
Who would be your dark horse that's playing well in the conference tournament and into regional play?
Yeah, so if you wanted to do that, I would say lock into some of the mid-majors. We have some really cool mid-majors this year that have been in a bunch of NCAA tournaments. Like, this is an extreme one, but Army, you know, they're going to represent the Patriots. They have been to five straight NCAA tournaments. Indiana State has had a magical year. Yeah. They've got a kid, Connor Fenlong, who just threw his fourth complete game shutout of the year yesterday.
Wow.
They've got a really neat team. They'll be in their third regional in the last 4 years. You know, Campbell out of the Big South, Connecticut was in game three of the super regional last year. DBU transitioned to Conference USA this year and just, you know, dominated the league. Those are the teams that come to mind as far as, I think this year the power teams are not super consistent on the mound, which leaves them a little bit vulnerable. And I think there's a real opportunity there for some upsets in our tournament, kind of similar to basketball. I would also encourage anyone that doesn't have a team. The Wake Forest story is really neat. They've been, you know, they missed three straight tournaments just recently, and now they're the number one team in the nation. It's kind of been this really remarkable and meticulous rebuild. So Wake's a fun story. That's a team that I think an average fan would really enjoy.
Of kind of the non-traditional approach to how college baseball is being played, is there a team that plays under the radar kind of good defense that you think is really portable? Because it seems like that's overlooked when these teams get to Omaha. And a lot of times I look and it's the teams that can pick it well that find themselves complementing the pitching as a way to win this thing.
Yeah, two teams that stand out for me. I mean, I would tell you most of the teams we're talking about play quality defense because that's, you know, that also plays in the regular season. But like two teams on the extreme side I would give you, one would be Boston College. You know, they're having a remarkable year. They've got a chance to host a regional on campus, in New England, which hasn't been done since the 90s. they're just older, solid. They catch the ball. They throw strikes. Just very fundamentally sound. Indiana State, who I mentioned a moment ago, is very a neat team because they've got some fifth and sixth year upper Midwest kids that are just very solid players. They've also done a nice job recruiting Latin America. Mm. They have a shortstop, Randall Diaz, from Puerto Rico. Their second baseman is from Venezuela. And so they have this really neat blend of Latin players who bring incredible energy and flair and skill with some older upper Midwest kids who are just super solid and, you know, have that kind of strength that you would think they would have. But their fielding percentage is probably top 10 in the nation right now. They play incredible defense.
Mike, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much, and we look forward to seeing you when you get to Omaha, and we'll talk again soon.
Fantastic, Mike.
All right, boys, be good.
Thanks.
It's Mike Rooney, ESPN Baseball College analyst and writer for D1 Baseball. We'll be back with trivia next. If you want to play, 888-684-8876.
Heard at Sports Radio, every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Coming up on Friday's show, it's a free-for-all as usual. We'll talk with Chad Forbes of NFL Draft Bites about all the things going on in the NFL. Mike Sauter from Herd at Sports stops by with all his takes on the latest local sports action. And, of course, we'll do our weekly check-in with former Husker and current pizza shop owner Matt Versal. Take a dive into the latest news in all things sports. Herd at Sports Radio with Ravi Lula and Damon Benning.